and a very good Friday morning to you. Adam Lepp here, co-host, producer, and co-ordinator of The Protector Show, starring security expert Ed Johnston, general manager of API Security in Worthington, Ohio, discussing security and safety tips on the job, at home, in the car, online. We've been presenting this show on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, since January. I've learned quite a bit. Security is an interesting field, but it's certainly an important one that we all need to pay attention to in 2018, as security is important in many places, again, work, home, while you're walking down the street, and online, which certainly would be my main interest and area of expertise. Ed has been in the security business for about 40 years, and if there was ever a walking encyclopedia on this, he would he'd be the man. Ed, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Adam. Thanks for having me back on the show, and for those listeners that hopefully are tuning in, we're going to talk a little bit about workplace violence. As we all are aware in the news, if it's law enforcement to schools to places of business, we can always use a little bit of review on talking about those things that we should identify with, as well as what can we do to help you to strengthen your rules, policies, and procedures within the business, and just to be that that compass in understanding what you should be identifying. And believe it or not, back in 2013, like every year, there's statistics. And in the Columbus area, and that's not too far away from Marion, there was a crime rate of 69 per 1,000 residents that those persons were victims of crime. And if you would put that even into the smallest communities, it would be a little bit less within your community. But like anything, more than 97% of communities have usually a lower crime rate than Columbus. So where you live is probably a good place. But like anything else, you need to be always staying vigilant and aware of your surroundings and your neighborhoods, and to be active within your neighborhoods. I don't know if anyone ever's known this, Adam, or not, but where a lot of this crime stats come from is through data. And usually all the police departments and municipalities sends in all their data, and the FBI collects all that data from over 17,000 local law enforcement agencies. And usually that includes violent and property crimes combined. And but when we're talking about workplace violence, what overall the definition is about all threats or acts of violence occurring on state, local, private properties regarding the relationship between you and other individuals that are involved in any kind of incident. All threats or acts of violence that don't occur on state properties are usually involving other persons. And with that said, Adam, just kind of give me an idea what you think would be considered a conduct of a act of violence.
An armed robbery, a rape.
Okay, those are two very good examples, but believe it or not, hitting, shoving, throwing an object at an individual is considered a threat or acts of violence. It could be that simple. Or even verbally threaten to harm an individual, or their family members, friends, or associates. Or threatening property, whereby those kind of threats towards personal property. Believe it or not, there is over 8 different levels that's considered the threat or act of violence that's prohibited under state law. And even to the point of making harassment or threatening phone calls. We've all probably had that, or even text messaging or emailing. All that is considered under workplace violence. What other thoughts do you have, Adam?
Ed, I think with all of the social media and people communicating through text and Facebook message and Snapchat and all these methods, some of which I don't even use, like WhatsApp, which I never fully understood that the purpose of stalking, badgering, nagging people online, not necessarily in person, that's become large. We all talk about the ex that won't leave us alone. And that's certainly an example. But with the proliferation of all the methods of communicating online, plus the old-fashioned methods, knocking on the door, calling somebody, sending a letter, those methods certainly are still used, even though not as much as they were 20 or 30 years ago. The general category of stalking, this type of behavior has certainly been increasing. And I think almost everybody, even if it's just observing a family member or friend or coworker, that we've experienced stalking to some extent.
Yeah, absolutely, Adam. And those are some other great examples of where workplace violence or even those relationships where they become violent. And change of age, Adam. There's a few stories I want to share with the listeners here and about stalking. As everyone's aware, a number of years ago, after some serious incidents, stalking became a law in the state of Ohio. And basically, that stalking law, I'm not going to go for verbatim, but that what we learned from that is if someone is following someone on a continuous basis, someone is repeatedly calling someone or texting or communicating, even on Facebook, is considered against stalking. Now, there's other ways where if someone continues doing that, that you can get a civil protection order, a CPO, and that there, if they continue, then those individuals then can be arrested. And I've known one person that was arrested over accepting a Facebook page after the CPO was served to that individual. And that person ended up going to jail. This is a very serious crime now with stalking. And people don't understand that someone continually calling or following, that this becomes a whole new level where law enforcement will place you under arrest if the proof can be shown that this has been continuing. So some other types of stories is where individuals is following someone on a daily basis or on a weekly basis in their car or on foot. And what I suggest to those individuals that is concerned about that is to document and to even videotape those times and to keep a active log of what is going on. For those that are the stalkers, you should back away. If someone says, quit following me, quit calling me, don't text me, don't call me, you should take that very serious. There's so many times where someone will just take it unseriously to the point where they'll say, well, what's going to happen? I'm going to get arrested. Yes, you can. Stalking has become that next level of anxiety on those individuals that's being stalked, and those stalkers don't understand what kind of anxiety it causes. But it becomes a very large fear level, and that's why that law has been put in place, to protect those that become too fearful and don't know what to do. I remember a time where I would have to repeatedly ask people just not to respond. I remember individuals coming to my office and says, gosh, this person keeps calling me, and I answer and say, quit calling me, or they text me, and they keep texting me, and I keep saying, don't text. And I finally tell a lot of people, just stop. You do not have to respond to anybody. As soon as you say, I don't want to talk to you, as soon as you want to say that you don't want to text somebody, then that's it. You quit responding. But remember this, when you quit that, you can't go back. You got to continue forward. Continuing forward means you can never give them a call. You should never give them a call or a text or anything in the future. Because when you're done, then you're done. Now, when that person continues, the stalker, then that's where you need to take it to the next level. Reporting to police and or going through the court system. It's so imperative, and I know it's not easy for me to even say this, but you just got to stop. And for those that want to continue, remember this. Most likely, you'll probably have someone knock on their door, on your door, and basically serving you, or even worse, arresting you. So this stalking is very important, and like anything, there's some other helpful hints that I want to share with you.
So they're really cracking down, Ed, on stalking. And if you're someone who you feel is stalking, better safe than sorry. If you get a tingling in your stomach when you think about contacting somebody, there's probably a reason why that's happening. And take a deep breath, stop, look, and listen, and maybe go ahead and not do it.
Yeah, I mean, many times we think that we can handle these type of situations on our own and we don't need to go to that next level. But what we usually do is we hurt our own selves when we continue trying to fix something that we can't fix. I know we all think, guys especially, think that we can fix everything, but we can't. And for those gals thinking that you can fix the guys or the gals, it just doesn't always happen that way. You have to be realistic that you just have to draw the line in the sand and just don't cross it, either side, and just respect it and move on. All relationships don't always work out. All relationships can never be worked out. That's why it's time to move on and just do the best you can in coping with those particular situations. So, somehow we are coming into a change of age, and what I have taught in the past about juvenile delinquency is even ever changing today with social media and with those persons that that they feel that their lives matter more than others. And I think that we need to emphasize to our kids that they need to share more. And they need to have that time, if you recall back at the dinner table, in sharing what's going on in their lives. We are all missing the point to be able to share those things that these kids, or kids in general, are in fear of. It's the cyberbullying. It's those things that are causing some unrest. And within that unrest, we're not being told. Parents, law enforcement's not being told, hey, there's a boy in class and I'm scared. Or there's a boy that's doing stuff that just isn't right. When I was growing up, I'd have no problem saying to the police officer or to my family member, hey, is this right? Or, you know, what's going on with those persons? Somehow we are becoming inclusive and we are pulling in when we should be sharing more constructive observations of descriptions, constructive ways of saying, hey, something's not right and how can we help as a community? And I think that's where that fear of repercussion, fear of that negativity, or the fear of failure is overcoming a lot of individuals at all ages. We, as individuals, need to take that positive route to reinforce what is correct ethically, morally, in us being responsible to maintain our safety at any level, wherever we go. We need to be that person observing, reporting, and hopefully making that difference within our own lives or within those places that we work. What's your thoughts, Adam?
I agree, Ed. Being proactive is important in so many things. Goodness sakes, in radio, you have to constantly be looking at trends and what the competitors are doing and look to make yourself better, make your fellow staff members the best that they can. And with security, those same principles will apply. Be aware of your surroundings. Take a look and see what might be available to make your life safer. Speak with your neighbors, your friends, your family. Many ways to go about it. And of course, always enlist the help of an expert like Ed. As I said, no technology will replace the people smarts and experience that someone who's been a professional in this field, literally since the late 1970s. Nothing will replace that.
Well, thanks, Adam. I appreciate that that extra jolt there of confidence. But like anything, listening or hearing from the listeners is so very important to me. And in this program, I'm hoping is helping those to think about their lives differently and hopefully have a more positive outcome within your lives. You, the listeners, that's what's creating this program is getting that feedback. And like anything, if there's any small or big questions, you're always welcome to give me a call. And if there's something there that we can help you with or clarify, we're always there at the offices, and we'll always be there to help anyone out. But like anything, if you feel that it's more of an emergency, then you should always have on your phone those emergency numbers from the local police to the sheriff's department to the highway patrol, and even EMS is so very important. Several times a year, Adam, I usually have those calls that come in for those persons that they're concerned about letting go, or they're concerned about how their policies are working or how people are interacting within each other's lives within the workplace. And we do a lot of consulting in that area. We usually come in and evaluate policies and procedures, as well as just see how the overall atmosphere is within your business or home. And like anything, it all comes back to the family, how strong the family is, to how strong the workplace is, and those individuals that's running the workplace. That's all very important to all of our lives. We want a positive place that we want to go to, and we want to work within our jobs and have positive outcomes. And that's so very important in this day and age with how the work is changing, as well as our family lives are changing, and how we change within those environments. What additional thoughts do you have on that?
I agree. Security might seem like a dry field, but as far as I'm concerned, it's the total opposite. Things change almost every day, and I can't think of too many other fields, even radio, because security and radio have many parallels, and that's probably why I enjoy being part of this show. But the idea of combining the people smarts and the experience with education, the theory that you learn in law enforcement and security training, along with what technology can offer, those three things work so well together. And like anything else that a consumer will be purchasing or getting bids for or researching, being informed, again, being proactive, nothing replaces that. Make the best decision that you can on security. Again, at your home, at your office, in the car, on the street. And learn, not unlike healthcare, learn about what you're receiving, what the costs are, what the commitments are, and make the best decision. Sleep on it if you need to. A credible security company, I mean, like API Security, won't rush you into any decisions. They'll provide the options, and you make up your own mind. And again, as Ed has mentioned, he is available for email and for telephone calls. He doesn't mind questions. He actually enjoys them because a consumer interested in what is being provided is going to be a happy consumer, especially in 2018, where it seems like with a lot of companies, customer service has become a foreign language.
Well, like anything, we have a melting pot of so many different ethnic groups and groups in general, and when we kind of bridge all them together, Adam, what we find is how do we all kind of live in harmony? And another great tool, it's called the Neighborhood Scout, and you can kind of look up crime stats that way within your neighborhoods, or check with the Sheriff's Department of whether lines of ways that they report crime within your area. Learn more about your area. Learn more about where you're working with what kind of crimes are taking place. The more that you become knowledgeable, the greater you can be more responsive within your lives. Like anything, it's knowing your environment, associating with those persons that really kind of fill your day, and we're, you know, like anything, the pursuit of happiness is what we're all looking for. But crime and workplace violence just don't belong anywhere, and it's such a growing and everyday concern on all of our minds. So let me just highlight some ways to ease this mind, is just to kind of summarize it all. First off, know your area. Know your neighbors. Have that dialogue with the police department, with your community service. Understand where you work, who you work with, and what kind of work that maybe will employ other people to come within your work environment. Know the ways to be able to escape from any kind of harm to yourselves. Know what to do and how to go about doing and safely keeping yourself out of harm's way. Know, once again, program all the essential phone numbers that we talked about, from the local police department to EMA to the sheriff's department to the state highway patrol. Be alert. Report those things that you feel could be questionable. No little question is never invaluable to us as law enforcement. We would rather hear from you and us listen to what you have concern with instead of needing to respond afterwards to a serious crime or to a serious crime scene. We all need to be more proactive, and we need to all be more positive within our lives so we can make that positive difference within our communities. Staying involved in our communities, staying involved in our local charities, in our local churches, in those that need our help. All that will hopefully turn this violence into nonviolence and into success in your own lives. And hopefully then we can overcome this fear and the anxiety that we feel more and more today. Any other thoughts, Adam?
I certainly agree, Ed, as my mama always told me, and I'm sure your mama also did, the only stupid question is the question not asked. And when it comes to security, that could not be truer words. Likely, if you have a question that you think is too simple or even embarrassing, there are probably 100 other people who feel the same way. So go ahead and be proactive, as we mentioned. Ask the question. Go to sleep at night with peace of mind and learn something, because one of your neighbors may wonder that also, and you'll look pretty smart when a neighbor or family member asks you that same question. And learn from your experiences. sometimes I know the way I am. I often go on tangents, but that's when I talk about something or I ask a question, it kind of breeds other questions. And when it comes to security, again, not unlike working on your own health, an informed consumer is not only a happy consumer, but a more effective consumer. Plus, you'll save money because you'll get the right equipment, the right technology, and know the best, most efficient ways to ensure your security. Again, at home, working down the street, in your car, at the office, and, of course, even online.
Well, let me tell you a little story to our listeners and to you, Adam, is that when I was teaching juvenile delinquency, and I taught it for over 5+ years, and the first question I would ever ask, and I don't know if I ever shared this or not, is to my students is, how many of you were ever juveniles, raise your hand? And the entire class would raise their hand. Then my next question is, for those that were a delinquent, keep your hands up. Well, statistically, out of every class, over 50% would lower their hands. And the other 50% that were delinquent, meaning they were in trouble with their parents, with law enforcement, or with the schools, would keep their hands up. And I would always say to these students, I said, well, don't take it personally, but we're going to talk about you. And what I wanted to emphasize was this, is that those other 50% of students that kept their hand up came from broken families, came from families that just didn't have a lot of traditions, families that just kind of worked and worked and just didn't pay attention to the kids. And those kids then eventually became delinquent. We can change that cycle. And one thing I shared with the students was, share your stories. Share why you became delinquent. Was it because of divorce? Because parents were both working all the time and they didn't have any time for you? Or were there other circumstances that it wasn't a Leave It to Beaver type of community? There were stories upon stories that these students would share. I know we all have our own stories to tell, but we want those stories to have better outcomes, better ways to be more positive and to have a more happy outcome. A lot of those students turned themselves around to be in that class. A lot of those students became very successful in the field of criminal justice. And like anything, even with those bumps in the road, everyone can still make that difference in their lives as well as those lives that they touch with others. We've had probably a lot of people that we can just reflect on right now that I just described that was that bump in the road or those persons that made a difference within your life. Go up and thank them. Go up and talk to them. Or you pass that forward onto someone else that you can be that more shining and more positive light in their lives. And like anything, when you have those stories, share them. When you think that maybe a story isn't going the way it should, share that with somebody. I think there needs to be more talking and less being on a computer, less being in front of a TV, less being in front of our phone, less being that instead of talking, that we're texting, and we should do less texting and more talking. There was another story that was kind of interesting about texting. I had a student one day, I said, hey, you need to go up and correct this accident report on the bulletin board. Well, when they went up to explain the story about the accident, all of a sudden, it was like right meaning R, U, not Y-O-U, but U. And what they were doing was they were writing on bulletin board like they would text. They didn't know how to spell a word. They didn't know how to spell or to put a sentence together because they were so used to texting instead of writing a full sentence. I think that should hopefully hit home to a lot of you that we need to really put those phones down more often and really talk and really make those phone calls and have that more viable communication with each other.
It seems like every show I do, Ed, be it my computer guy show or when you and I talk, I agree. As a technologist, someone who uses technology in many ways, the most important thing we offer is our brain and what sometimes is called the milk of human kindness. Yes, GPS and Google Maps and Waze are wonderful, but no smartphone, no smart map app is as smart as the human brain. We do have artificial intelligence and virtual reality, but again, there are unique qualities of the brain, not to mention the fact that it's still good to shake hands, still good to call your grandma and say happy birthday and thank you for the present. You know, you see, I don't know how your grandkids are, Ed, but you hear stories about people sending their grandmother a text thanking them for a card or a Christmas present. Goodness sakes, I know it's 2018, and when my grandma was alive and I was a kid back, oh, goodness sakes, in mid-1970s, I would always send her a letter, handwritten, as well as call her. Now, we didn't have texting and Facebook back then, but even now, I still see myself using the old-fashioned method. And it doesn't just apply to your grandma. It just applies to your friends. And I've seen on Facebook where people have received on Valentine's Day cards and old-fashioned birthday wishes, again, a surprise flower, even just as a friend. It doesn't have to be somebody you're dating. And it's amazing how these things are appreciated. And if anything, maybe ironically, Ed, these types of communications are appreciated more because especially among younger people, it's not quite as common. So yeah, so surprise your best friend. Send that person a handwritten card or a rose or call. And not to mention, again, a handwritten note or a phone call to your grandma on Christmas or her birthday or thanking her for a present. It'd be amazing how far the milk of human kindness can go at a very minimal cost. That postage stamp that costs less than 50 cents goes a long way, I can assure you. Yes, texting and smartphones and apps have their place, but we have to draw the line. And as you mentioned in law enforcement, especially where law enforcement officers are constantly under the microscope, have to follow protocol. Don't abbreviate. Don't use text. Don't use text specific language. Yeah, I use the letter U for YOU. I say things like hit me up or HBU, and we all do. But when it comes to things like law enforcement and following protocol, pay very close attention to the language that your instructor suggests that you use. And it's a good habit to get into. And if you don't start with these good habits, it'll be harder to acquire them a year or two down the road. And when you do get your job in law enforcement, whatever profession that you choose, you're really going to make an impression on your boss and your coworkers and the people that might work under you by doing things the proper way. And you'll be a good influence, something that will definitely put a smile on your face.
Absolutely. All those are very precious comments, and like anything, what kind of reflects over my mind, Adam, is that, you know, thanking those individuals that do serve our community and thanking them every time you see them, and or those military persons, still thanking them for their service. And like anything, teachers, principals, anyone that's helping you or a loved one out, thanks goes a long way. And I think, once again, I like to at least dedicate this program to all those that serve in any kind of leadership capacity. And anyone that's really guiding anyone's life, I want to dedicate this to. And for those lives that have been lost, there's a sense of thanks to those families that hear this message. And like anything, I'm looking forward to the next program and hopefully hearing from you, the listeners, of what you took away from this one. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to The Protector Show with security expert Ed Johnston. Listen every Friday morning between 11:10 a.m. and noon for this important new show here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. For more information on Ed and the show, please visit theprotectorshow.com.